If you have children or grandchildren, you sort of keep up with the animated movies that are out. It's a must, right? Well, my kids will ask me, my grandkids, that is, they'll ask me, have you seen this? Have you seen that? You know, or we're going to the movies and I'll ask, what will you see? And sometimes this is texting back and forth. Sometimes grandma's doing the texting. But do you remember when the movie The Beauty and the Beast came out with the animation and all of that? And you got that, you know, obviously the ugly guy. And did you understand why he felt worse than what he looked? You know, he was cursed in the movie. And when in the animated film, and there's different versions of it, obviously, when Belle comes in one of them, you know, he doesn't want her to know what he looks like, and he hides himself. And eventually, you know, he reveals himself, and you know the story, besides the teapot singing and everything else in the movie. But you know, there becomes a big change. And the change is that, you know, this young gal comes in and she loves him unconditionally. And it changes him. And he becomes the handsome prince, and if you will. And he becomes, you know, the charming fellow. And of course, now you have happy ever after, right? You know, if only that was reality, right? If all things were just resolved that way. You ought to take some time this Advent, as if you have extra time, I understand, and read the prophet Zechariah. Because when you look at Zechariah, you'll see the story of the Beauty and the Beast. But the Beast isn't just one person, it's all of us. He talks about the people of God and how they act like a beast. How at times they hide themselves from God. They don't want God to know. They don't want God to see them. They don't want to see God. They hide in their shame. And then there's times that he roars and the people of God roared. And they didn't roar in praise of God because of his almightiness. They roared because they were upset. They roared because they wanted different things and they weren't getting it. He portrays a sense of ugliness and darkness beyond measure. He portrays the people and even the priest as he describes them. He's wearing really dirty vestments, filthy vestments. And it reflects the corruption, even in the worship. And that's the beast. And then he prophesizes about the beauty. The beauty isn't a cute little girl. The beauty is Jesus Christ. And he describes Jesus in the sense of his bright light, in the sense of his contrast from the wickedness of the people to the purity of Christ, the anointed one. The contrast from, you know, the selfishness, the rudeness, the belligerent, you know, all that you can say about people that isn't nice. And he contrasts that with the one who's coming. And we know that when Jesus did come and he was born of Mary and he grew up and at the age of 30 and he began to teach and preach and do miracles, we know that some people still hid. Not everybody wanted to see Jesus. And then some who came to see him didn't want to see his beauty. They wanted to put their dirt onto him. They wanted to shake off their ugliness and say, he is worse. You remember the time they called him ugly? You know, he cast out things in the name of Beelzebub, like the devil, right? You know, they wanted Jesus to look worse than they looked. And Zechariah, he talks about that. But then beauty does something that is most astonishing. Christ comes and he trades. In the animated version, Belle never becomes ugly, right? But in the gospel narrative, Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin for us. Christ is made to be ugly. And then there's that ugliness of the cross. And even the darkness when the sun did not shine for those 3 hours. There we are reminded about the darkness of humanity. Our sinful darkness is now upon him. Jesus, who knew no sin, was made ugly by our sin. And what happened to people is they were now cleansed. They were now washed in the blood of Jesus. They are now covered in the righteousness of Christ. People who were once the beast are now the beauty. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffers, he dies, and he goes to the grave, to that tomb. And that too isn't part of our beauty. It's part of the ugliness, the sin, the consequences of sin, the wages of sin is death. And he takes that to the tomb. And then everything changes, but we don't see that part. He descends into hell, but he's no longer ugly. He descends into hell and he tells the people there, you know why you are here? It's because you did not want the beauty of God upon you. You wanted your own values, your own choices, your own riches, your own wealth. You wanted your own looks and you got them. And this is what happens. And he preached to the people in hell. And he left. And the Bible tells us on the third day he rose again from the dead. And Mary Magdalene saw him. She didn't recognize him. She was still looking for ugly. Death. She thought he was a gardener. Where have you taken him? Where did you put him? And then he calls her by name. I would have loved to have been there, wouldn't you? But maybe not really. Because in our own sinfulness, we want to see Jesus, but we don't. We have our issues. We don't want a white, bright spotlight on us because it would show everything else about us. And Jesus encounters Mary. And then he goes, he tells the girls, the ladies to go tell them what's happening. And he shows up to the disciples in the upper room. The doors are locked. The windows are locked. Everything is secure. And there he is, just like that. And he shows the beauty. Peace be with you. The one who was beautiful in the fullness of the glory of God is now showing us he has that again. What's interesting is he does not give our ugliness back. He took our sin to the cross and he paid for it. And Zechariah talks about how his light changes everything. And so the people that once sat in darkness, says the prophet in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, now a light has come. The light rises and the people of God arise and shine. And this has been our overall theme for our Advent series. It's about how God sends his son, beauty, to take our place, the beast, so that we would be called children of the Most High God, that we would reflect the beauty of God. And so in the Gospel of John, it says, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works. In other words, see the stuff that you got from Christ, that God gave you in Christ, that are yours in Christ. And then they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. We don't shine because we're perfect in and of ourselves. We shine because Christ is perfect and he's covered us with that. We are indeed not the source of light, but we are the reflected light. For the Christ who dwells in our heart, the Christ who's in word and sacrament, the Christ who's among his people is the one that helps us to show the glory of God. And when that is shining, we give God the glory. When the things go well in our life, we give thanks to God. And when they're messy, we raise our hand and we take the credit for the mess, you know, because we still battle the beast within us, don't we? We still battle our sinful nature. And the promise of God is one day that struggle will no longer matter. But the promise is also this, that because of Christ, we have a victory over the beast. We have a victory and the gift of God's beauty in Christ. And we shine like the jewels of a crown. And we give God the glory. And we give thanks to God. And so read the prophet Zechariah. Take time and you'll see the narrative without all the Disney antics, which is okay. But you'll see how God promises into a world of darkness, this wonderful Christmas message. The message of hope, forgiveness, and life. Amen.